Parshas Vayakel, we're going to do the first piece. We're going to start from the beginning of the parsha. The parsha begins, Vayakel Moshe. It's called Das Bnei Yisrael Vayemer Aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together. He brought together, like from the word Kehillah, congregating, Kol Das Bnei Yisrael. So what does that mean? That expression, Kol Das Bnei Yisrael, which sounds like, as opposed to an ordinary shir from Moshe Rabbeinu, which was not to call Das Bnei Yisrael, even though Moshe was Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody was in his shir. It wasn't like, you know, there was a variety of shirim to choose from. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, everybody was there. So what's the special emphasis over here on Kol Das Bnei Yisrael? So the Ramban says, Yichlo Kol Das Bnei Yisrael ha'anoshim ha'anoshim. Ramban has a chiddush. He wants to suggest that the expression Kol Das Bnei Yisrael, that it was a kehillah of everyone, means that the women were there too. Ki kulam hisnadvu b'melachas ha-mishkan. After all, this parasha is about the Mishkan, and certainly the women played a very big role. We should refer here to the Ramban a little bit later in this week's parasha, where it says, Vayavayu ha'anashim al hanashim, I'm not sure exactly where it is. The Ramban says, here it is, in Pasuk Chav Beis of the same parak, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayavayu ha'anashim al hanashim. Very Gishmak the Ramban. The Ramban over there says, Kitam al hanashim, Shehin hayusham barishena, V'ha'anashim nitfalu lahem. They took the lead, and the men were the tag along. So the women played a leading role in the Melachas HaMishkan, so therefore this Kehillah, this Vayakel, was Kodas B'nai Yisrael, and included the women also. And now the Ramban sets up the sequence. V'hinei Moshe achar shetziv el arman ha'simcha b'nei Yisrael ha'anashim. Kol shedivar Hashem yitev ar sinei achar shivar alucho yizvenas lal panam basveh. You had the end of Parshas Kisisa. There was the Shveres Aluchais, and then Moshe Rabbeinu came back down, and there was the coroner Panav, and he appeared to the Bnei Yisrael, and he spoke to them, and afterwards he put on the mask, and then he went back to his tent. But that speaking to them in last week's parasha, that was a regular shir, that was for the men. Chazer v'tziva v'hikimu elav kol ha'edu anashim anashim. He then made a second gathering, which was v'dafka for the men and the women together, to talk about the Melachas HaMishkan. Okay, he says, perhaps it's by the next day. V'amar l'kulam inyan HaMishkan. And then he taught this is the inyan HaMishkan, he taught to everybody together. Now, let's pause over there. The next part is very important, but let's just pause over there. There's an interesting ha'ara. The Sefer the Baal HaFla, whose Pirush on Chumash is called the Sefer Panam Yafais. HaFla was Rav Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, 1700s. Very interesting life story. He was one of the Talmidim. He and his brother, the two of them together, were Talmidim of the Mezud Shur Magid, who was the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. In other words, that group, that Chabura, that were the Talmidim of the Mezud Shur Magid, for the most part, with the early Hasidic Rebbes. But the Hafla was a little bit of an exception. He was a Talmud of the Mezud Shur Magid, and as far as I know, there isn't any indication that he had any kind of a falling out or a rejection of any sort, but he moved on in a different kind of a career path. He became the Rav in Western Europe, in Frankfurt, Germany. And my impression is that later in life, in his Torah certainly, there doesn't seem to be much indication that that he was following through as a Talmud of the Mezud Shur Magid. But anyway, he's one of the Gedolei Achrayim. His Sefer on Ksubis and on Maseches Kedushin are of such paramount importance that, you know, people really don't learn those Masechtas without his Pirush. He was a tremendous, tremendous Goyin. He was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. So that gives you a sense, of course, of his stature. In addition to everything else that he did, he also has a Pirush on Chumash called Panim Yafais. And there are two Geshmaka pieces at the beginning of Parashas Vayakhel on the Ramban. One on this paragraph and one on the following paragraph in the Sefer Panim Yafos. And they're referred to in Rav Shavel's notes in his Ramban. He refers over here to the Panim Yafos. The Ramban says the Chiddush over here, Vayakhel Moshe is called Asman Yisrael, that called Asman Yisrael means that the women were there too. Vayomer Eliyam, Ilai Dabar Meshotziva Hashem Lassi Tzayzim, Sheishas Yom Teyasa Malacha, So the pasuk over here of Shabbosain, which is the essay not to do malacha, is written over here in this parasha, which the Ramban says was called Asmanei Yisrael, was very deliberately meant to include women as well. So this is, he makes an interesting tzushtal. There's a discussion in Rishonim about whether the essay of Shabbosain applies to women. What's that mean? Of course, women aren't allowed to do malacha regardless because it's a leisa aseh. Malacha on Shabbos certainly is a leisa aseh. Malacha on Yom Tov is also a leisa aseh. So it doesn't seem to make such a big nafkamina. But there is a Gemara in a number of places where the Gemara asks why a certain malach is not allowed to be done on Yantif. For example, Mila. Mila, of course, we know Mila is Deich HaShabbos Yantif, but that's a Mila Bizmana. What about a Mila Shaloi Bizmana? It's not Deich HaShabbos, it's not Deich Yantif. There's no pasuk that says that it is. But the Gemara asks the question, but why isn't it Deich HaMishum Asei Deich HaLoi Saseh? After all, Mila is an Asei. Now, if it's on Shabbos, we wouldn't suggest Asei Deich HaLoi Saseh because Shabbos is a Loi Saseh Sheish Bekaris. But the Gemara says, what about if it's on Yom Tov? Why don't we do the Mila Shalei Bezmana on Yom Tov because of Asei Deich HaLoi Saseh? And the Gemara, there's really a series of answers in the Gemara, but the final answer is that Yom Tov is a Loi Saseh Ve'asei, because there's a Loi Saseh not to do Malacha, the Loi Saseh Malacha, and there's also an Asei of Shabbosin. Shabbosin is the Asei not to do Malacha. It's what changes malacha on Yom Tov from being a mere leis aseh into a leis aseh v'aseh. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is whether an aseh would be doicha et. So there's one such discussion about Mila Shalei Bezmana. There's another discussion about Sreifas Kachim or Truma Tameya, which is a mitzvah aseh. Is it doicha Yom Tov? The halacha is that it's not. The question is, why not? Why don't we say doicha leis aseh? And again, one of the answers is, oh, because Yom Tov is a leis aseh ve'aseh because of Shabbosin.
The pasuk though, was it only talking about Shabbat? Like when it says Shabbat, that's also Yom Tov we're saying.
Right. The Gemara cites that legabe Yom Tov. So the Gemara, so there's a Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Lamed Daled, where Tosfos has an interesting aura. He speculates that here we're saying that when you have an assay, a mitzvah assay to do something on Yom Tov, but that something involves some sort of an avera. So why don't we say assay de chalaisase? Oh, the answer is because it's a leisase of assay. So Tosfos asks, what about for women? For women, doing malach on Yom Tov is a leisase, sure. What about the assay? What we're suggesting that it's also an assay because of Shabbosin. But wait, but Shabbosin is a mitzvah assay shazman grama. Leisasa malacha, that's a leisasa shazman grama. Okay, leisasa is nashim hachayavis. It doesn't matter that it's shazman grama. But the assay of Shabbosin, which is a mitzvah to abstain, to rest, to withhold, hold back from doing malacha, it's a mitzvah assay shazman grama. So nashim should be peturis. So this Tosfos, it's one of the Balei Tosfos, it's interesting, he quotes it from Rav Yosef Ish Eretz Yisrael, I think, that Rav Yosef Ish Eretz Yisrael said that in all these places where the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to do, why can't you do it on Yom Tov, even if it involves a malacha? Why don't we say it's a Yom Tov? And the Gemara always answers, well, it's a Yom Tov, but I say, for Rav Yosef Ish Eretz Yisrael, that's all true for men. It's a leisasa and an assay, leisasa malach and shabbosin. But for women, that the assay is a mitzvah assay shazman grama, and the leisasa is just a leisasa, so then let the assay be deichet a leisasa. And it should come out some fantastical nafkaminas that a woman should be able to do a mila shalei bezmana on Yom Tov, that a woman should be able to burn kachim on Yom Tov, shem and sreifa, Truma Tameya, she should be able to burn the Nayan Tef. And that, I think one of the examples, one of the cases where this discussion comes up is Lagabi Kisui Hadam. If there's a need to do a Kisui Hadam, it's a Mrs. Asay, the Gemara says we can't do it on Yantif anyway because it's a Laisas of Asay, and it's a Laisas of Asay. Oh, but if it's a woman who has the Mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, she should be able to do it because it's only a Laisas and not an Asay. That's the Kasha that Rabbi Yosef Ishar Yisrael asks, and he wants to answer that Kasha by saying a certain Chiddush, but the assumption that he's working with is that the essay of Shabbosim won't apply to women because it's a mitzvah she's my grandma. So the haflaw was ma'irer that according to this Ramban, that Vayakel, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, goes out of its way to say that women were there, and here's where it says the mitzvah of Shabbosim, so then it's mistaver that the mitzvah of Shabbosim would apply to women. And even though it's, yes, it's the mitzvah say shasma and grandma, and ordinarily mitzvah say shasma and grandma, that's not paturis. But over here it was, I'll call it asman Yisrael. Women were specifically invited when this mitzvah was given. So he says maybe this would be a makur to say that the Ramban argues on that Rabbi Yosef Ishar Yisrael and would hold that nashim are chayavis in the essay of Shabbosim. And then maybe all those gemaras come out kipshuta, and it comes out kishmak. That all those gemaras that that say, oh, you can't do these mitzvahs on yantif because ain't a sederich leisas of asay, and it never suggests that women might be different. Yeah, that's because women also have the same leisas of asay. Okay, that's a little bit of a lamdash aside. Coming back to the Ramban, so we have this whole assembly, major assembly with men and women both. And what happens to that assembly? So this is a very important line. The Ramban is sort of, masking a big yisoid in this. You know, he says it very innocuously. He doesn't speak out over here that it's a big chiddush. Like the Ramban, that here in Parshas Vayakel, where you read that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them about the Malachas HaMishkan, there's nothing new here. He's simply announcing at this big assembly the Inyan HaMishkan, which he was already commanded on a long time ago, before the Luchas were broken. Now, what's he getting at? He's coming lafuki from the Rashi in last week's parasha. Rashi is extremely major Rashi. It's a very small Rashi, so I think a lot of times overlooked. But Rashi, at the beginning of the story of the Egel, let's see, where is it? Right after Kechalei Seila Davar Yitei, Vayar Ha'am Kiveshish Moshe, I think over there. No, on the previous one, on Vayitei Na Moshe Kechalei Seila Davar Yitei, so that's really the beginning of the story of the Egel, that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchais, and meanwhile, Vayar Ha'am Kiveshish Moshe, Laredes Minahar, so they went and they made an Egel. It's the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, but it actually starts in the final pasuk of Perek Lamed Aleph. So it's Lamed Aleph Yurches, and over there Rashi says, Ein muktim amuchar b'toira. This story is all out of place, because we're in Kisisa here, right? What was the previous week? Tetzave. The week before that was Chuma. So we just had the last two parashiyos talking about the Malachas HaMishkan and the Big Day Kahuna, and now we get to Kisisa and we learn about the Egel. Zoki Rashi, that can't be right, because the whole Mishkan only came after the Egel. That's why she says, "In Mukhtim Mukhapater, Maisa Egel couldn't receive Malachas HaMishkan Yom Rabim Haya." The Maisa Egel preceded the Suvi Malachas HaMishkan by many days. Why do I know many days? So Rashi over there is making the assumption, saying the Chiddush, he's quoting, it says over here, he's quoting from the Tanchuma. Rashi over there is going with the opinion that the whole Malachas HaMishkan is really only as a result of the Chete Egel. The Bnei Yisrael did an Egel, did an Aver of the Egel. They were threatened with some terrible, terrible punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for them. They got a kapara. And then after that kapara, Hashem gave them the Mishkan. Rashi doesn't really flesh out the Mahalach so fully. Why exactly, why should that be that the Malachas HaMishkan was dafka after the Egel You know, Rashi like sort of puts it together with the ritzui for the egel. Okay, they were he was nisras to them on Yom Kippur, and then they were worried for the Mishkan. But you know, before they did the egel, they didn't need the ritzui. Why weren't they worried for the Mishkan then? So the Seferno really is the one that speaks that he's maybe the best representative of this Mahalach, because he develops it much more fully than Rashi does. And the basic idea, the Seferno writes about it in a few places, the basic idea that the Seferno says is that before the Egel, there wouldn't have been any use or any need for a Mishkan, because whatever the Mishkan was supposed to do, they were able to accomplish without a Mishkan. Literally, each person in his own house with his own Avodah, each person could serve Hashem in his own place, and he didn't need a special place, and he didn't need a special person to represent him. It was much more universal. But with the Chet of the Egel, they lost that. They went down many madrigals, so that even after the Ritzui, and now Hashem was willing to accept their Avodah, but the Avodah had to be, needed a new form. Now it needed a special place. They couldn't do it just anywhere. It needed special people. You couldn't do it just anybody. So that's the Seferno's elaboration on that Rashi. Again, the Rashi just says in one sentence, Rashi means to be saying is that before the Maaseh Egel, there was no plan for a Mishkan. So you read Parashas Truma, Parashas Tetzaveh, it's really out of place, because before Parashas Kisisa, there was no Truma Tetzaveh, there was no need for a Malachas HaMishkan. That's Rashi's Mahalach. The Ramban over here is coming lafuki from that. The Ramban is coming to argue. And I should point out that sort of more broadly, the Ramban is coming to argue really on those opening words of Rashi, in Mukta Mucha B'Torah. The Ramban, again and again, is one of his recurring themes in the Torah. He often resists Rashi's references to in Mukta Mucha B'Torah. He doesn't deny that such a thing is true. It's a Gemara and Psachim. But the Ramban has a much more limited use of in Mukta Mucha B'Torah. Rashi almost seems to use that to mean that you can't really make anything, you can't make much out of the order of the way things are presented in the Torah. We have no idea what happened first, what happened second, and the fact that the Torah writes it this way is not any indication. So we have to figure things out some other way. The Ramban says, no, it doesn't mean that. The Torah is written normally, logically. The Torah is written with a normal sequence. And certainly things are in order. The Emok and Mokhav Torah just means that chronological order doesn't trump all other considerations. And if there's a good reason why one parasha should come before another parasha, even if it chronologically it comes later, but if there's a good reason why it makes sense that it will be written earlier, so the Torah will write it earlier and will not refrain from doing so in order to adhere to the chronological order. No, Emok and Mokhav Torah, things are allowed to be out of order. We can only say it if there's a good reason for it. And over here, and in many places where the Ramban makes this objection, there's nothing in the Torah that indicates that this is out of order. There's no reason why we have to make it out of order. So about this, in order. So that's one part of sort of the underlying machlaikis. Probably the even bigger deal, but here I'm sort of putting words into his mouth. I don't want to state with certainty that this is the basis of the Ramban's argument with Rashi, but sort of you see it. I guess I'm not putting words in his mouth. I think you could connect this to the Ramban at the beginning of Parashas Truma, which we learned together a few weeks ago. But the Ramban's shita is that a Mishkan is a basic part of the plan, and he doesn't like the idea that there was going to be a Torah without a Mishkan. There's supposed to be a Mishkan. It's not b'diavadik. It's not to make up, to compensate. Remember, the Ramban talked about how originally there was a Hashras HaShechinah at the top of Har Sinai. You couldn't keep it at the top of Har Sinai forever. So the Mishkan was to bottle that Metzias that was present at the top of Har Sinai and to make it permanent. But the Mishkan has a real role to play. And the Torah always, therefore the Ramban holds that the Torah always intended to include a Mishkan.
So therefore, Tshuva Tetzav are perfectly in order. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and was hearing about various mitzvahs, so one of the very first things he was told was about the Mishkan. About that, the Mishkan was part of the plan from the very beginning. But now, what the Ramban adds over here is, so that's what he said in the previous line. It means not like Rashi that this only came about after Yom Kippur, after the Ritzoi, after the Shvir's Aluchas, after the Maaseh HaEgel. Then Hashem said, you know what, let's make a Mishkan. Hashem had told him about making a Mishkan during the first 40 days when he was up on Har Sinai from Shavuos till Shavuos HaBetamos. He got the whole Torah. And that Torah included the Mishkan. So over here, he's just telling them about something that he already knew about, Kodim Shibur HaLuchos. But now, Dr. Rambam, but why is he telling it to them now? Once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, fine, I forgive you. Okay, fine, I'll give you the Luchos back. Okay, fine, I'll give you another bris. V'karasi my bris chadasha she'elich Hashem b'kirbam. So Moshe Rabbeinu then said, hey, look, we're back to the good old days. Hashem loves us like he did by the wedding. Ubiyadua, now that word is a very big word that should be in bold letters. Ubiyadua, shetia shchinase v'seichem ke'inin shetziva utchila. What the Ramban means to be saying over here, and he really just uses that word, ubiyadua, to make the point. He doesn't emphasize it over here, but it's a little bit more emphasized in the Ramban and Parsha Shmini, if you want to take a look over there. What the Ramban is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu really figured this out on his own. You can almost call it, you know, the Gemara has a list of Shleisha Dvarim, also Moshe Rabbeinu Midate, right? The Shvira Zaluchos, the Hoitzafi Amecha, and the Pirish Mene Ichu, the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did Midate. And this is not in that category, because, right, Gemara says three, not four. But the Ramban is almost putting it there. It's not in that category because, of course, he didn't make up the idea of the Luchas. The idea of the Mishkan that was given before the Maaseh HaEgel. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the whole idea of the Mishkan. But Zok the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu was really going out on a limb over here because, yes, Hashem told him that there's going to be a Mishkan. But a lot of things happened since then. Then he came down from Har Sinai and he found the Yidden worshiping the HaEgel. And at that point, the whole Jewish people was supposed to be wiped out. And, you know, we learned together at the beginning of Parshas Truma that the reason why there was supposed to be a Mishkan then is because Hashem said, you come, you're going to be my terror, you're going to become a Malachas Kainan Begay Kaddish, and then it's Roy that I should be Masha Mashchina among you because you're Kaddish and you're Roy, Lias Kaddishim. But they didn't seem like such Kaddishim when they were dancing around the Egel, so obviously things changed. I mean, they lost all of that. At that point in time, we had no reason to expect that Hashem still intended that there should be a Mishkan and v'shachanti b'seichem. And Hashem never told him that that was restored. Moshe Rabbeinu heard about the mitzvah of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu saw B'nai Yisrael lose the privilege of the Mishkan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, well, they got the Luchas back. They got the Bris back. What else did he mention here? They got the Ritzui back, right? Three things. They got the love back. So Moshe Rabbeinu then said, guess what, everyone? We got the Mishkan back. But he was never told that. Moshe Rabbeinu just figured that out on his own. Biadua, once he saw, and then Biadua, then Moshe Rabbeinu realized, the Shechin is coming back. And that's why the Tzivu is given here. And so the Ramban says, the whole Seder Advarim is very, very meduyik, right? We have two parashiyos of the Malachas HaMishkan. We have the one in Parashas Terumas Tesave and another one in Vayakal Pekute. What's the difference between the two? The first one is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, and the second one is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Bnei Yisrael. The Torah means to be emphasizing that here, after Kisisa, there was a Maisa Egel, there was a Ritzoi, there was a Luchay Shniyais, there was a Chazar La'avas Kula Laisam. So then Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I could tell him about the Mishkan. And he didn't need to be told to go tell him about the Mishkan. He was told about the Mishkan way back, and now he figured out on his own that he could go and tell them about the Mishkan.
The Ramban in Parsha Shemini speaks of that also, and he adds the word Yoda Me'atzmai. He writes, Nistavim Moshe B'malachas HaMishkan Kodin L'maisah Egel. Again, not like Rashi. Moshe, not like the Sefarnu. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded before the Maisa Egel to make a Mishkan. U'kishin Nisratz, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'tichi She'yashu She'nasai B'seicham. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you win, and he even said that I'll go amongst you. Yoda Me'atzmai She'mitzvah HaMishkan B'mkoyim Ma'imedes.
He knew on his own that the Mishkan, the mitzvah of the Mishkan was back, and he can go tell the Yidden, and he went and he did that. The man says, like I explained in Parashat V'Yakel. Over there he adds the word me'atzma. Over here we're supposed to figure it out just from the word biyadua. But that's what the Ramah means to be saying, that Moshe Rabbeinu really was going out on a limb, that he knew about the mitzvah of the Mishkan, but he also knew that it was lost. And now he was Mishayer, he was gauging that he thinks Mistaber that they got it back, and based on that he went and he told them we have a mitzvah of Mishkan. So it was a very courageous thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did at the beginning of this parasha. Okay, let's go right into the next piece. Eila dvar v'shotziva Hashem lasayis oisam sheishes yamim teyasa malacha amar eila dvar v'shotziva Hashem lasayis Amalachas HaMishkan V'chol Kela V'chol Avedasai V'hiktim HaShabbos L'emi Kishish Yom Teyas Amalachas Melachas Eila HaDvarim V'loi B'im HaShvishu Kedish L'Hashem. Look, the Ramban, don't misunderstand that Eila HaDvarim means the two psukim that follow the Mitzvah of Shabbos, right? Again, we're in Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph says that he was makhil kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Like we said, it's a very special assembly, not just the regular shir, it was the men and the women, a special assembly to teach them something special. So what was it? So like we already said before, it was to tell them, guess what, everybody, we have the Mishkan back. Right? To tell them about the mitzvah of the Mishkan. But that's not what immediately follows. He says, Eila ha'dvar ha'shitziv ha'shem la'si seisam. There's two psukim about Shabbos. And then, a new parasha. And then he says, okay, we have to start donating things. And so we could say that really begins the Malachas HaMishkan again. In Pasuk Dalet, Moshe Rabbeinu starts talking about the Malachas HaMishkan, but Pasuk Beis and Gimel were about Shabbos. Pasuk Aleph, working backwards, Pasuk Aleph said Eila HaDvarim. So what does Eila HaDvarim refer to? So one might very well have said Eila HaDvarim means Shabbos, means the mitzvah of Shabbos. So the Ramban is coming lafuki from that, and the Ramban says no. The whole assembly was for the incredible Basura Toiva that we can make a Mishkan, even though we made the Egel, but Hashem was Mechaparatz, and I'm telling you, we can make the Mishkan. That's what the assembly was for. So Eila HaDvarim has to be going on the Malachas HaMishkan. So the Ramban says, that's the main point the Ramban is making here. Oma Eila HaDvarim, Al Malachas HaMishkan. V'keila v'chalav Edasai, not on the Mitzvah of Shabbos. But then it was Makdim Shabbos, before it got into the Mishkan, it even though it already started Eila HaDvarim, which refers to the Mishkan, but before it really got into the Mishkan, it spent a couple of psukim talking about Shabbos, so why did it bring that in the middle? For Mamash already started the sentence, started the paragraph about the Mishkan, so this is the time to teach about Shabbos. So that's why Chazal realized that this is not Stam, another repetition of the Mitzvah of Shabbos, because then what's it doing over here, but rather it's to teach us that Malachas HaMishkan is not Deich HaShabbos. So it's really Din of Malachas HaMishkan, and it's saying, Eila HaDvarim Shetziv Hashem La'asais, referring to the Mishkan, and within that subject, you should know, Sheish Yisrael Mitzvah HaMalacha, the Malacha that I'm about to tell you about, the Hainu, the Malacha of building a Mishkan, he's showing you for 6 days, Vei Mishvi Yilchem Kodesh, you should rest on the 7th day, Shabbos Shabbos and Lashem. And then he got into the details afterwards of what exactly is that Malacha that they're supposed to do.
So we say that the Shabbat, but we say, Ve'elah HaDvarim is teachers about the Malachot of Shabbat?
Yes.
We see those malachot are what you can't, like what you did in the Mishkan.
Excellent.
So can we just say that the Shabbat is like Shabbat and Mishkan are like just the same thing?
Beautiful. Beautiful. So the Ramban doesn't say all of that, but this is, like I mentioned before, there's another haflah here at the beginning of the parasha. The Panim Yafai says exactly what you just said. You mamash chapped the whole piece together. That was very, very well done. I'll just speak out a little bit more about Richas. The Ramban says that Eilah HaDvarim is going on Lachat HaMishkam. But Yaakov is asking a question that we know Chazal Darshan, Eilah HaDvarim is one of the Ramazim to 39 Malachas. It says Eilah HaDvarim Mikan, that there are 39 malachas on Shabbos. And Rashi explained because Dvarim is in plural, so that means there's more than one. So that's two. Hadvarim is an extra letter, that makes another one. That's three. And Eilah is a gematria 36. So it's 3 plus 36, and that gets you to 39. So the Gemara is clearly interpreting Eilah Dvarim to be referring to Shabbos. And the Ramban over here says, oh no, Shabbos is just mentioned here, you know, sort of as an aside. It's telling me that the Mishkan is not Erech Shabbos, but the real meaning of Eilah Dvarim is going on the Malachas HaMishkan. So doesn't that contradict the Gemara? So the Panim Yafai, Stafla, speaks out. I don't remember how much of this he says. He says the nucleus of it. I'm not sure if he says the whole vert. I don't remember. But he says that it's not a stira, because the two are very much related. The Avad Eilah Dvarim meant the Malachas HaMishkan. But, and the Gemara says, yeah, there's a remnant to the 39 Malachas on Shabbos. Because what are the 39 Malachas on Shabbos? None other than the Malachas HaMishkan. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Bava Kamma, that what determines what's a Malacha and what's not a Malacha, what things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, it's those activities that were done in building the Mishkan, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the 39 malachas correspond to the 39 things that were done in the Mishkan. So Mele, the Ramban is right. He's telling you the Pshat on the Pasuk. Eilah Dvarim Shetiva Hashem La'asam means, that means the Malachas HaMishkan. Now Moshe went up and he said, Eilah Dvarim, I'm about to teach you all the things you have to do to build a Mishkan. And then he started off, but you should only build it for 6 days, not on the seventh day. And Chazal Darshan should know, Eilah Dvarim, these are the 39 malachas on Shabbos. But it's not a stira. They are the 39 malachas on Shabbos, but not because the pasuk is going on Shabbos. The pasuk is going on Mishkan. Eilah Dvarim that you have to do to build a Mishkan. Zakti Gemara, that means there's 39 malachas on Shabbos. Because what are the things that are malachas on Shabbos? The things they have to do to build a Mishkan. So since Eilah Dvarim they have to do to build a Mishkan, some of it would be the Eilah Dvarim that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara isn't disagreeing with the Ramban. The Ramban is right. The Eilah Dvarim is going on Malachas HaMishkan. But nevertheless, the Gemara is able to learn from there what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Yeah, that's how Gafla explains that this Ramban shouldn't be a steward to the Gemara. And then the Ramban ended off the paragraph, Umikan, again, Mehiktim on Shabbos, then we can shish them, Taysa Malacha Eilah Dvarim, Malachas Eilah Dvarim. So what he throws in that last line is that he mentioned already in Parashas Kisisa that whereas Rashi had learned that which Shabbos, Malachas Mishkan is not Derech Shabbos, is learned from the word Ach Bayom Hashvi. And the Ramban, and that's a miyut, and that tells me that you don't do the malacha of a Mishkan on Shabbos. And the Ramban over there was so bothered. Ach is a miyut, but the Ach is written on Shabbos. So if it's Mamayit Shabbos. So if anything, it would tell me that Shabbos steps back to allow the Malachas HaMishkan to go ahead. How could you learn from there that Malachas HaMishkan steps back so as not to infringe on Shabbos? If the miyut is written on Shabbos, so the Ramban was not happy with that drasha that Rashi brought down. So the Ramban sort of owed us a different drasha. He teaches the Malachas Mishkan is not Teicha Shabbos. About he's made it to the halacha. Malachas Mishkan is not Teicha Shabbos, but it's not because of Rashi's drasha from the word Ach. So the Ramban says, "Oh, I'm coming in over here to pay back my debt from last week's parasha. I owed you a drasha that teaches us that Malachas Mishkan is not Teicha Shabbos.
So I'll tell you, that's what these two psukim are doing here. Not that the whole beginning of the parasha is on a different topic, it's about Shabbos, and then only after the pay, after the new parasha, we get into Melachat HaMishkan. No, Pasuk Aleph Eilat Ram is already going in the Melachat HaMishkan. Ayiv is already going in the Melachat HaMishkan, so why does Pasuk Beis and Gimel talk about Shabbos? Teretz is traditional Mikra. That Pasuk Beis and Gimel, Karmic tells us that the Melachat HaMishkan is a 6-day project, not a 7-day project, because the Melachat HaMishkan is not Derech HaShabbos. Okay.